six, five, four. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Shelby, and this is 80s Pop Tops. I'm back from a little week break. This week, we'll be diving into the late fall of 1980 and the top five of October of that year. This time of the year is the waning sound of the 70s, and the bubbling up under of the 80s was beginning to occur. Again, you have many different styles on the charts, which the charts just could never, ever make up their mind about what they really wanted to sound like for a while. And as you will see in these countdowns, it's very obvious. And we will start with number five. This is a country song. So as you can see, we still hadn't come up with our identity yet. That was Driving My Life Away by Eddie Rabbit. This was at its peak of number five in October of 1980, and this was also a country number one. And as you can see, the early 80s, and even into 81 at its peak, had a very large pop country crossover phenomenon. This was driven in part by the movie Urban Cowboy. People had saw it at the bar, and they wanted that lifestyle, and the charts themselves just crossed over back and forth. The country people, the purists, didn't like this. They didn't like the country artists going over into pop music. They looked down upon it. They didn't think it was real country. They thought it was just, you know, pop crap. And pop people, like me, just didn't like country music. However, these songs that I consider the pop top country pop crossovers, I did like. So it's not always a black and white kind of thing. This was such a problem that by the time Garth Brooks came around in the 90s, he did not let his company release any of his top songs on the pop charts because he didn't want it to suffer a backlash. It's not that he didn't like pop music, he did. It's just if he had put it on there, he would have had a backlash from his country fans and it would have caused him problems. And he didn't really have any issues as he was selling millions of albums on the album charts and was topping that, so he didn't really see the reason to do it. So as you can see, pop country crossover in the early 80s was so good, it destroyed it. All right, so now let's go on to the number four song, and this is an R&B soul song. Let's take a quick listen.
There's music in the air and lots of loving everywhere, so give me the night. Give me the night.
That was Give Me the Night by George Benson. This was at its peak of number four in October of 1980, and this was also a number one hit on the soul charts. This was the primary example of late 70s, early 80s R&B soul music. This is also considered one of the last disco songs, which kind of doesn't really make sense to me because I never considered this a disco song. I've heard this before. I remember listening to it. This is definitely more of an R&B soul kind of music. I mean, it does have dance bits to it, but disco is kind of like a large stretch in my imagination, in my perception. So I would not consider this a disco song, but this was George Benson's biggest hit. He mostly a jazz and soul musician and stayed mostly on those charts most of his career. This was produced by Quincy Jones. It was also written by Rob Temperton of the band Heatwave. So a lot of the R&B souls is just one of the many examples of those early 80s R&B type songs that you really don't even hear anymore. It's been replaced by more of the hip-hop and rap stylings. And I mean, there's still some of it, but to me, it's just not the same. But then again, I'm an old man, and I get set in my ways, and I like what I like and don't like anything new because I'm going to sit on my porch and yell at old kids on my lawn. All right, so let's go on, and let's go on to our number three song. This is a repeat that's still hanging around. Let's give it a listen now. Inside, that was Upside Down by Diana Ross again, still hanging around on our charts this end of 1980. Diana Ross, one of the stars of Motown and her star in her own right with the Supremes. She, as I've mentioned these last few times, she's amazing songstress. Didn't write these songs, but, you know, produced them and sang them well and was a great performer. Getting herself drenched in the rain at Central Park while the monitors were shorting out and the microphones were shorting out. This song in the this was towards the end of her like pop career. I mean, she's still around. She's still done, but she's not as a force on the charts anymore, obviously, but definitely an icon of the 60s and 70s and shoot, even a couple of 80s songs early on. So just, you got to give it up to her, Miss Dirty Diana herself, Diana Ross, and who knows, maybe she'll be around on the next one. This song was one of the bigger hits of that year. So let's move on to number two. Again, another repeat from last week in this lovely slow ballad. But what else can we do? Tormented and torn apart. I wish I could carry your smile in my heart. For times when my life seems so low, it would make me believe what tomorrow. That was All Out of Love by Air Supply. Yes, the lovely, sweet Soma soundings of Air Supply. And you think of ballads and you think of the early 80s, you think Air Supply. You think songs telling you about your biology. It's Air Supply. This is, as I've said before, an Australian band that just did lived off of the ballad in the early 80s. I remember television shows in the early 80s about a group of kids trying to get to see their shows. Don't even get me started on how and why, but okay. Hey, if you're into that, whatever, but it's something you can go and watch. It's not something I see as like a stadium act, but I guess it was. I do like their songs. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm just saying they're all very the same. I mean, even the same style. I mean, I don't even think any of their album tracks varied much from this kind of tone and sound. The lead singer just had that soft perm and that soft voice and softness. All I can say is softness. Anyway, let's go on to our number one song for October of 1980. And this by one of the biggest bands of the 70s and early 80s. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. How do you think I'm gonna get along with that too? That was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen, your number one song for October of 1980. This was Queen's last top 10 American Billboard hit. They did have another song that hit the top 40 in 1981, and in my opinion, a better song that you probably all know, but it did not break the top 10. That was the one they did with David Bowie, Under Pressure. But that did not break the top 10. However, somebody who stole the beat from it got it to number one, so let's not even go there. Anyway, Queen, to me, is one of your typical, not typical, amazing rock bands of the late 70s, early 80s. If you had seen the biography that everybody hates but I like, you can see why. I mean, they're a dynamic frontman and just energy personality himself, Freddie Mercury. This song is a very good song. It's one of their kind of different sound songs of the 80s. You had your rockabilly one with a crazy little thing called Love, and this is more of a disco type dancing one, which, you know, Freddie just wanted to diversify. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little different, but it's still good. One of the main stories of this song was the song that originally they wanted to use in Rocky III. But they couldn't get the rights. Queen didn't release them, or they just couldn't get them from the record company. So they ended up commissioning Survivor to make Eye of the Tiger. If you kind of hear this song, you can imagine that instead of Eye of the Tiger. I don't know if you can anymore. They're too iconic, both of them. But you can see what their thought process was in this to begin with. After this, Queen did make the theme song and most of the music for the Flash Gordon movie that came out the next year. They also bumped around and did a few other things, and it wasn't until 1984 when Radio Gaga came out that they started to come back on the scene, and Live Aid itself brought them back full bore, and everybody remembered, or if they had forgotten just how much of a good band they were, how much of a performer Freddie was, and all of them, it was put on full display for everybody to see. Unfortunately, as most of you know, he had died in 1991 of AIDS. I do remember being in Europe in 1989. They were still all over the place there. MTV Europe played them a lot. And I remember seeing some of these songs from them I had never heard. That is where I picked up my first Queen's Greatest Hits. It was a tape. Brought it in London. And there was a bunch of songs on there I had never heard because, again, your European release or your foreign release of their greatest hits before the CDs came out a couple years later. And I was introduced to a bunch of songs I had not heard and liked them even more. So yeah, this is definitely one of my favorites. And if you like rock music, I don't know how you don't consider them one of your favorites. Anyway, that's going to conclude our top five for October of 1980. Once again, I want to thank you all for being here, listening to me ramble on and talk music with you. Next week, I hope to be back. I will have a usual off-the-charts topic for you. I'm not going to give it out now because I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But it'll be something interesting. So I want to thank you all for your support. And if you can, drop me a line. And if you really would like to help in any way, just find a place to review, most likely on Apple Podcasts, and give me a nice word. Once again, thank you all for listening, and have a great week. And we'll meet all back here again soon. Thank you. Bye.